episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
This is Klaus Schwab. Enjoy listening to Derek and Roro Nostalgia Hour.
You can't handle the truth.
We'll do it live. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
I'm so drug fucked tonight. Open up to your bum.
Well, a lot of my opinions would make me seem like a lunatic.
Absolute wanker. You blockheaded bastard.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Rick.
Looks like a dick going towards an asshole to me.
I'm making fun of you.
Fellas, that you're so funny. The temporary ways, they're driving me crazy. So I'm taking your back.
Enjoy listening to Derek and Roro Nostalgia Hour.
And coming up tonight, after the break, it'll be the tonight's evening's lineup. We've got Coronation Street tonight, where Elsie gets arrested for hate speech. And following that, we've got our usual episode of Sphincter Squad. And tonight our team encounter a team of gay firemen who have accidentally set on fire extinguishers. But first tonight, it's coming up, our usual humorous show, Rick and Roro Nostalgia Hour. Take it away. Well, thank you very much. Rick and Roller, episode number... Roller, you better tell me what episode it is, because I can't remember. 60-something,
Roller. Yeah, you've got Anthony Albanese here.
It's Australia.
Yeah, Saturday the 28th of February 2026, and it's Rick and Roller 69.
He's got a terrible voice. Right. Yeah.
Fuck off, Albo.
69.
Yeah, G'day, Rick.
Hello,
Roller. G'day, Rick. How are you, buddy?
Welcome to the Saturday Rick and Roller show.
What is tonight
the big night in Sydney? There's something going the Whitties, Sydney. It's the March of the
Poofters. Oh, it's the gay Mardi Gras, is it?
The gay Mardi Gras.
I say
Poofters with an endearing tone because I think they call themselves that possibly.
Well,
why is it on the eight? It should be LGBTQP.
Alphabet community. They don't even like it. The lesbians and the gays don't even get on. I knocked around in 1980. Yeah.
Well,
how they're all lumped into the proper
poofters, the proper ones. I'm talking about your career antique collector.
Oh, yeah. The ones that are in the Blue Oyster, with the leather.
They don't like the transgenders. They like blokes. They don't like any. They don't want men dressed as women. They want men dressed as cowboys. They don't I don't know how they managed to align them all.
It's hilarious. Yeah. My father always said, why do they have to... remember they had gay... like
pride.
Gay pride month, for these queers. But the thing is, my father said, why don't we have straight pride month then?
Yeah, I agree with him. I agree with them because that'd be hate speech, Rollo. That would be hate speech.
Yeah. But in Australia, you see. That's hate speech.
Mm. Yeah, so did you hear Chris Mimsy, old Mimsy, Christopher Mims or something. He's got some stupid name. I call him Mimsy, which
Chris
is now.
That's right. Yeah.
Which is, yeah, Mimsy, I call him, because that's another word for the vagina. he's apparently a bit of a cunt, but he's formed a team called the Hate Speech Squad. 250 of them, and they got high-powered, rifles and machine guns. What are they planning? What are they planning? So for people
Bondi or whatever. I don't know.
sounds like they're going to be shooting people.
Well, hopefully everything goes well with the look. When I was a young man, and I lived in Sydney, I loved knocking around with the queers and the homos. That's right.
Because they party hard than anyone else. They're
you get the best drugs, best nightclubs, the taxi. You know that taxi club on that corner, opposite corner there, that has the free level?
The Exchange Hotel.
Yeah, I tell you, those were the days. I tell you, in 1989, was it? That's when I was working for Westpac.
Those were glory years, Oxford Street. Now, Oxford Street, I thought I
might have been gay at the time. Anyone's
the critique of the Rick and Rollo show, the way we're just talking here. Rollo has been what we call a crypto poofter.
Well, when I was younger, I realized I liked women more.
Yeah. You told them a lot more than most other people.
Yeah.
You found out the hard way.
Oh, I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
Rick and Rollo. Greatest show ever. Anyway, just make sure that we've got, so I've got at the moment, where are they? There's three lizards and, I can't see the spider, but my cat is definitely in the room somewhere.
Rosie's on my balcony, stressed out in front of me, listening to you.
Excellent.
Well, she's not really Rosie. Listening to you because I've got my headphones on. So,
well, can you just every now and then put the headphones on so she can be included in our ratings survey? Can you send her a ratings book so she can put a paw on it and say that I listened to the Rick and Roller show?
Well, we had a good show last week. We had Susie, we had Card Carn, and we had Aberetto, the fakeologist, and Velocet. And we played that song that you put in by the Herds, was it? The Red Gum.
No, I just sent that to you this morning. That was the Herds, a rap.
Yeah, I listened to it. It's a lot better than the, the Red Gum.
Boring. I like the rap version. I've been a 61-year-old man who identifies tan to color. I wouldn't identify as any other color. We've got a tan.
But you're legal. You're a legal immigrant. And so am I. I'm legal. This is what we're going to discuss tonight at length. I want to discuss this at length. The State of the Union. But keep going. Keep going, Rick.
Oh, no. We'll talk about our weeks. Tell me about your week, Rollo.
My week. Okay. I'm not sure I should talk about it. Ah, fuck it. I went down to the village to get my...
Be careful. Don't name anyone.
I won't name anyone. So I went and got my vodka and lemon lime and soda, my Immoglis. And this poor tragic, when I was getting my ciggies, they wouldn't sell him ciggies. And he gave me this whole bunch of stuff. You'll never find it. But he says it was 24 karat gold. It was an old watch or something.
What did you have to do for the watch?
I would have bought him a $10 packet of cigarettes out of the kindness of my heart, But he gave me this. It would be hilarious if it turned out to be I got the missus, ex-missus, to look it up. And it turns out it could be a 24-carat. I hope the guy hasn't pinched it from someone's house. I know what I've stolen.
I'll give you a guess.
You know what I mean?
It won't be his grandfather's old watch. I'll just say that one, Roland.
Well, the watch part wasn't there. The watch part was missing.
Oh, so it's just the band.
Basically, the band and the – I'm trying to work out what it was. I spent – and an earring. The earring was the most fascinating part. It was all tangled up.
It sounds like
up.
You might be a tea leaf roller, if you know what that rhymes with.
Yeah, a thief. Yeah. I know what you're saying. So don't worry. I'm not going to be caught with stolen goods. So but the earring was so cool, though.
Are you putting it in your ear?
No, I haven't put – I was going to put it in my ear, but I still – couldn't untangle it. It was so fine, and I didn't want to wreck it.
It sounds like it's real, then.
Yeah. It's a I'm not huge into jewelry, or I've always had an earring in my left ear since I was a kid. So is Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford's always had
an earring.
Up until I was 20 something, and I got a short haircut, and these mates of mine the firemen that were working. Across the road from where I used to go to the gym, they said, "You're not a fucking poofter, are you?" When I put my earring back.
You had it in your left ear, right? Not your right ear.
My left ear. Yeah. And they were genuinely going, "What are you wearing that for? Yeah. You're not a poofter."
Yeah, but in your left ear means straight.
If it was in your right ear, it used to mean you were a gay.
I just as a joke, I went to a party one time and I pierced my right ear really drunkenly. It was hopeless piercing.
What a dumb thing to do.
I just threw a needle straight through it and I wore this big dangly, this is like 20 or 30 years ago. It's just at this party, just for a laugh, and then I spoke like this all night. Yeah, they went, hello, a bit of a Christmas guest, type thing, waiting
I hate grass face.
Oh, do you know what I watched today? I watched, what did I watch today? Pluribus.
Was it good?
It's great.
I need to get Joel's thing on TV because I'm not going to watch it. I am not sitting there staring at my phone, burning my phone with the 5G.
No, it's definitely worth watching. It's worth watching. And I watched The Odd Angry Shot with Graham Kennedy.
And Brian Brown. You get to see some clumsy boob fondling, I notice, on the...
You do. Yeah. My favourite line is, if you don't eat, you don't shit, and if you don't shit, you die.
That's actually true.
Yeah, there were a lot of
The Odd Angry Shot's about a team of Australian SAS in Vietnam in 1967.
That's it. It's free on YouTube, and I had it out on the screen today, and I just went, oh, look at them all. And Graham Kennedy is just so dead because he was a bender, you know that? Him and Bert Newton, they were Bert Newton was married to Patty Newton his whole life.
He was
a screaming.
Good evening, this is Bert Newton here. Hello, everyone. This is Bert Newton. Good evening, Bert Newton.
I loved him. Him and Graham.
Moonface.
Yeah. That's
absolute pro entertainers. Those guys. I could
when it came to Australia. Yep. When it came to Australia and, black and white, 1966 or whatever, when Graham, the tragic part about Graham Kennedy was,
he died broke.
He wasn't. Mm-hmm. Rick and Roll 69. Rick and Roll 69.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to another conversation
or your preoccupation.
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, on with the conversation.
The the art of conversation.
And you're listening to the Rick and Rollo Show on the Truth Meets on the 28th of February 2026. It's episode number 69. Back to the hosts, Rock and Rollo, or whatever.
Thank you, Roland Rocchicelli.
Thank you, Kev.
Kev. Sorry, Kev.
Good stuff, Kev.
He tries his best. Back in 19, yeah. What was it? 66, you know, Graham Kennedy.
Yeah.
And
so he was a comedian. He had his own talk show. Huge star in Australia. Huge. And Bert Newton was his offsider on their late, they had a late night show. And he got into all sorts of trouble for, because he was very risque, we'll just say that. He was gay, but risque. Because he said that joke about the crow, you know, what did the crow say? It's fuck.
Oh yeah, fuck. Yeah, he said. Yeah. Oh, what was it? The very last time I saw him on air was on Kerry Packer. Kerry Packer did not look after Graham. He gave Channel 9 so much, and Kerry Packer was we don't know what was going on behind the scenes, but the very last time I saw him was 1991 or 1992, where
he came back with John Mangles.
After that, did the funniest Australia's funniest home videos.
Mm-hmm.
That was the last time. That was in 1991. Him and John Mangles was the Graham Kennedy Coast to Coast or something, wasn't it?
About 10 o'clock at night.
John Mangles, and then it was Ken Sutcliffe before that. Yep. It was 1988 with Ken Sutcliffe and then John Mangles. And then he came back and he did. And the thing I really remember is he took all his teeth out on air.
Really?
And it scared the fuck out of me. And I went, and then he smiled with, like, he had no upper set. He had no teeth. Yeah, they were fake.
So he would have been popular with the men that he was hanging out with.
It's quite, there are a lot of people that had no, one of the most famous people that had no teeth was, what was that? Now, see if my mind's going to escape me. What was the first movie that was done in colour in 1939?
Wizard of Oz.
No, yeah, okay, not that one then.
The one.
He had balls.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a fuck. That wasn't that movie.
Ooh, now we have to go off because I've had a few moggles. Oh, what's in your hand, by the way? What's in your hand?
Better beer.
Fucking
expensive. But not fucking close to water like American beer. Really nice beer. But really, really expensive.
That joke never goes old. What's like a man in a canoe or something? Monty, was that Monty? No, Monty Python.
No, he goes, American beer is like making love in a canoe.
Yeah, making love in a canoe.
Fucking close to water.
Now, anyway, I'm trying to think that really good looking fella who, Hill of Beans. He said Hill of Beans. It doesn't matter.
You're not talking about the movie. I'm talking about the Gone with the Wind.
Gone with the Wind. Now, yeah, who was the star of...
My dear, I don't give a damn, or I said a different word.
Now, what was his name? I'll have to look it up.
Yeah, he was married to...
His halitosis, no one would want to kiss him. Because like he had falsies. He had falsies and he... And they weren't good ones back then. They didn't know how to make them like these days.
They used to make them out of wood 300 years ago.
Yeah. Well, that's what my grandmother...
wooden teeth.
My grandmother, had wooden teeth. Yeah. Oh, look what's popped up on my phone. Newcastle bus services halted after driver attack. Buses across Newcastle have been ground or halt following an unprovoked attack in Charlestown. Yeah.
Yeah, because I sent you that message yesterday, or you didn't see it. No, about 2 a.m, I put it on. They're on strike in Newcastle, and it'll be over that incident. Mm. And no surprise, because you know, and you yourself have been one of those patients, people on the back of the bus smoking cigarettes and talking to junkies.
He got stabbed, but they got the guy. He was a 23-year-old. You couldn't mix him up for me. All right, who are we looking up here? Gone with the Wind. All right.
Yeah, it's what's his name? Famous actor, and he was married to that blonde actress.
Hold on, we'll find it. I'm going to ask
for A, B, C, D.
Yeah, it doesn't work like that.
Big moustache and big ears.
Gone with the Wind. Now he's
Scarlett.
His name was Clark Gable, and yeah, you're trying to think of Vivian Leigh.
And Betty Grable was his wife.
Yeah.
He was married to Betty Grable. So
apparently nobody.
That's a bit weird.
Look at all the posters. He's kissing someone, and apparently all the leading ladies couldn't stand him because he's.
Remember Tootsie, and when
Dustin 1982 was how could I forget?
And there was that leading man that was on the soap opera, and he had that mouth deodorant. He'd always spray it in his mouth because he was notorious for trying to tongue kiss his stars. That was a really funny joke in that movie.
Bill Murray says in Tootsie, "Is this the nuttiest hospital ever or something when he's watching television?"
Is Bill Murray in Tootsie?
Yeah. Is it? Like one of the, it's, you know, he's not the star of it. It's Dustin Hoffman. When he takes all his, cause he wants to get back to his wife. They kind of ripped it off with, what was that one with,
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Exactly. Yes. So we're the same age, sort of. You're 61. I'm 56.
Can you imagine, I'm 61. I'm driving around listening to fucking, what was I listening to before that, that song, Shut Up? I was listening to this real, like, proper, rap by that, it's called Shut Up. And he's really good stuff. But I'm not.
Is this on non-Central Coast? This is on that Central Coast.
I've got a thing called, it's called Rex Radio or whatever. I'm on Apple Music, and it basically sends me all the kind of music I would like because it knows, because it listens to what I'm on my what I've downloaded, and it sends random stuff. But it's got it's an American rap, proper rap. I mean, when it was good, I love that kind of, because it's very clever and funny, some of the lyrics these guys can do, spit out on the top of their head. And awesome. And I'm listening to death metal, fucking stoner, fucking rock. Back in the day, an old man my age, 61, would have been listening to Kenneth, you know, Songs of Praise or something or other on his, or you know, really boring music. Not me, and not the new generation. This is Generation X or the just become Generation X's.
The songs we played last week were awesome.
That was Beastie Boys. We played Beastie Boys.
I loved it. It took me all the way back to 1986. Araya and Kerry King playing the guitar and them doing their rap.
That big Jewish guy with the beard produces every fucking thing. He's in the video too. He comes walking in.
That's brilliant. It's a great video clip. It is.
I love that kind of music. I love, if you can cross heavy rock and rap, it's just perfect. And Public Enemy did that with Slayer, that song.
That's awesome. It was
fantastic. It works really well.
And the one that you brought up, the Streets of London, but the punk version.
Did we play that?
We did in the after show.
Anti-Nowhere League. Yeah, fantastic stuff.
I
haven't listened to that show. I must listen to it because I can't remember anything.
But But the version, but the version of
Ralph McTell.
My parents actually met him. I think he's still with us. The one that you played today, you know, from the Vietnam War, what was it again?
The Herd.
I was only 19. That version is a lot more upbeat than the Red Gun.
By coincidence, the other, you know, the Hilltop Hoods. Are playing tonight in Sydney in a big stadium. Not huge stadium, but that'll be a big concert because they're a great band. Remember the Hilltop Hoods and they had that song, the Nosebleed Selection? The Nosebleed Selection. Yeah, Hilltop Hoods. We could go out with that.
Did the laneway thing with your kids go off well?
Yeah, it was apparently fantastic. I don't know anyone that played there. I couldn't even tell you. But also tonight, there's another huge big fucking concert. We're getting the really big concerts going still in Sydney because it's still great weather, apart from the 100 or 200 mils of rain. When I arrived on... My week. I worked at... up here, but I did nothing. I was very lazy this week. I had 2 days where I just didn't get out of bed till after midday because I was fucking just, I don't blame you. And why would you? And then I went to the Whitties, Sydney on Thursday. And I could have gone to the beach, right, when I left. It was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I could have gone to the beach. I could have done that, but no, I decided to. I had to drive to Sydney for fuck all. It was a, I made a little bit of money profit, but the rest of it was just going down because I
had
to make sure my job. Anyway, I was driving down on the freeway and I was about to be at Newcastle and I kept driving. I was thinking, that looks really, really grey in front of me because I didn't even look at the weather. And I'm telling you, man, they got hit with a weather fucking event. There were cars and suburbs. There's written off cars everywhere. The fucking roads flooded. There was potholes you could fall down on.
Smashing it down.
Yeah.
It was smashing it down for the last 2 days.
200 mils in a day or something or other.
It was raining so hard it would make your head bleed if you were outside. But I was on the balcony here, just being idle, idle. I'm glad you got home safely. Yeah.
I did. Well, I drove.
You know, you've always got your presidential suite here, so you know where I live.
But it's not. I'll just tell you now, Rollo. The next time I come and stay at your place, I'll be in the Velocet suite, not the garage.
I have to put the TK Maxx. This is not product placement, but
it is.
Yeah, because Rosie loves it in there, and she, for some reason, wants to go in your room. Well, where Velocet stayed in that night.
I call it the presidential suite because it may as well be.
Well, I have to bar it off because Rosie loves going in there and doing a business in there for some reason.
Or maybe I will sleep in the garage.
Because the garage is a lot safer. Plus, you've got a shower, you've got a toilet, you've got a kitchen. It's the presidential suite. Your week.
So I went to Sydney and I came back home. And this is the thing that's annoying me the most at the moment. Certain things annoy me more. It's when you're on the road, I turn from a calm, normal person into I would put it up with any great psychopath in any movie, particularly, say, Joe Pesci, you know. You think I'm funny? You think I'm funny? When I'm driving... If there's a car going...
Goodfellas. Yeah, Goodfellas.
Goodfellas or whatever. Mm. When I was driving to... I had to drop one of my oldest son. What's his name? Frankenheimer.
Is it Norbert? Enid, and then the other one is
Heinrich.
Yep. Yeah.
Heinrich, who looks incredibly like JK out of Jamiroquai, and by coincidence, that is his name, which I call him JK. And he's now looking, because the other day I sent a photo, I think I sent it to Susie, a picture of him in New Zealand with his sister. And he is very good looking. Norbert's very good looking as well, but
look at the stock they came from. Look at you. You're a good looking fella.
Yeah. Well, his mother's very photogenic, she certainly used to be very photogenic.
When I look at you in real life, all I think of is Rob Hurst.
Drummer. I've got wrinkles and I'm not happy.
Well, I don't think Rob Hurst does. I think he's
dead.
He left the building.
He's been embalmed, so he's got no wrinkles. And I'm not prepared to go that far to go get rid of my wrinkles. Fucking wrinkles, though. That really pisses me off about them. You know why they get them? Because you have, you laugh a lot and you pull a lot of faces, which I do.
Oh, like a Jim Carrey type thing.
I am, if you think that I change my voice a lot, I change my face more than my voice.
Do you really change your voice?
Yeah, I do. But no. But anyway, so today I was driving to drop, he's gone off to a 21st or something or other. And I was driving along, and there's on a 100-kilometer stretch along the coast road, there's someone in a ute doing 70 to 80 kilos and kilometers an hour in a zone that it says clearly it's 100. You've got to do 100 on that. There's no potholes. It's just the perfect stretch of straight road. I'm telling you, man, I turn into, like, I just feel like driving alongside them and ramming them off the road just to say you shouldn't. I cannot believe how aggressive I get when someone's doing 20 kilometers.
You drive angry.
Only when this, and I don't like cyclists. Can I just say that? I can't stand cyclists that cycle in a bunch. You know,
I hear you clearly. If cyclists want to be on the road, they should do the same speed as weekend, you know?
Yeah.
Cycle at 100 miles an hour or 100 kilometers. Yeah. I agree with you, mate.
Thank you.
We're on the same page.
That's back to whatever we're talking
my
about.
My week. It's called the State of the Union Address. And this is what I really want to talk about.
Let me go in
and get a top up. You've already said what you've got in your hand. I'm going to go and get another refill. If we're going to talk about this, he said one of the best things I've ever heard in my life. It was the longest speech an American president has ever done.
Yeah, it was over an hour and 3 quarters.
It was almost 2 hours. It was almost 2 hours, and it didn't what do you call it? You know, when you watch a long movie, like The Green Mile or something, it goes for 3 hours.
Bored?
No, well, I didn't get bored in The Green Mile. I've been bored.
You know, the guy's an entertainer, but you know that the other thing that he's just gone and done, and that fucking RFK never said anything about it.
He's gone, the guy with the speech impediment. Yeah,
and I can imitate him. I'm not going to. I don't even think he's worthy of imitating. He never said nothing. Donald Trump's using this military. We need this thing to be pushed through, and it's going to be pushed through as a military thing. They're increasing the manufacture of glycerin.
I know what you're wanted to talk about. I understand that. Let's
what kind of cunt
before we get onto the heavy stuff. Let's just keep it light before we get onto the heavy stuff.
Okay.
So let me just check this.
Go and get yourself a little drink.
I've got it in my hand now. Rick and Rollo 69. 69.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Rick and Roll episode number 69, can you believe it, on the 28th of February 2026. So now, can you believe it, Rollo, we're now 3 months in. We're in March.
Wow.
So we've started.
Doesn't time.
It'll be Christmas. Christmas specials will be.
Before you know it. Yeah, time flies when you're having fun. So, yeah, we'll get to the heavy stuff, but the best thing, I'm going to have to paraphrase because I don't have any notes in front of me, but he said something like, stand up.
Yeah, I saw
if
that.
If the American government is for American citizens or illegal aliens, something like that. And it was hilarious. And the camera panned across, you know, all the Republicans, you know, some of them are rhinos, Republicans in name only. But then you go to the Democrats, they're all sitting down. He made it very specific. Stand up if your government is, and he was just playing the crowd. He brought out because if Ab was here right now, the fakeologist, I'm not sure he's into ice hockey. They beat Canada in the ice hockey, so he brought all the ice, and they wouldn't stand up for they're going USA, USA, you know, and
USA,
yeah,
USA,
yeah, and that poor woman that got stabbed on the train. Where they had video of, and they had, you know, the husband, they wouldn't, like, the Democrats in America, I think, are going to have to rebrand. I think they're so broken now. In Australia, there's like, there's a new party that wants to get started, like a bit like One Nation. That keeps popping up on my phone. That because of the hate speech laws that Anthony Albanese, that's hate speech to me because you can't speak English.
Yeah, well, I'm
man,
you now,
I'm me and you are both legal immigrants, but let's go back to Donald Trump. It was basically a stand-up routine that he does. What's it called? You're Fired. What was that? Yeah. What was that TV show he was on?
That one.
The Apprentice.
That was getting you ready for Donald Trump, that show.
Yeah, and everybody loved him before in 2015, but because they thought Hillary was, you know, business as usual. No way. Mm. Mm. They couldn't fake it. They faked it in 2020. That's why I think he should run again in 2028. But he's still got more than 2 years to go. And the way
he should be able to have America in an actual full-on civil war with California seceding from the it's going to be it's just another rinse and repeat. And this is going into the astrological thing. Everything that's happening in the stars right now last happened during the era of the American Civil War. Was it the Battle of Independence? One of those things.
Oh, yeah, yeah. English, to get away from the English.
Well,
yeah, that's
right. I thought I didn't have to go anywhere, but I ended up having to drive and to take my son back to go to his party. But I sat down and I put on Netflix. And all of a sudden, I was just scrolling through. So I was trying to find, I want to watch Beneath Silver Lake, or Underneath Silver Lake, or Beneath Silver Lake. I want to watch that. And I thought it would be on Netflix. No, it's not. So I'm going to have to pay for it or do it on Joel's streaming.
Yeah, go to Joel's. It works perfectly. Well, we'll that pluribus. A Pluribus that I watched three episodes.
It's good.
Today. It's fantastic. It's a rip-off of Westworld. It's a rip-off of... I can't remember who directed and produced it, but
it's on Apple.
It is. It's on Apple. So, yeah.
I sat down in my lounge room and I saw, the Patriot. Now, I've never watched that movie ever.
With Mel.
Mel and Heath Ledger. We'll call Mel an Aussie just because he kind of is kind of Aussie because he came.
Yeah, he was born. He was born in New York and New came York, here
with his father.
New York in New York, New York, not bloody New York State. Yeah, he came here when he was seven, and the first time I ever saw him was in that
Mad Max.
Sons and Daughters, was it? Or Hospital.
He was in prison.
Cell blockade. Yeah, and then he was in Tim. Tim.
Yeah.
Yeah. When he was the retarded boy. Mad Max. So it was called Road Warrior.
Road Warrior.
In Australia, it was called Mad Max. Yeah. It was awesome.
Anyway. So I put it on. And I watched the opening scene where you hear him go, 9 pounds, 11 ounces. That's the first words he says. This came out about a year before 9/11. 9 pounds, 11 ounces. And he takes his chair down, sits on it, and it collapses. Really strange coincidence. I'll just have to say that. And he wouldn't know that. He would have known what he was saying. I'll keep talking about some of these other ones. But anyway. So if you open your mind and watch TV shows and you get influenced by these TV shows or movies, I watch it and I say, what am I thinking now? And I was watching and I was going, I want to join up the revolutionary thing and start killing British redcoats.
Did he write it? Is this Icon Productions?
I would be very surprised if it was. He was the most likable American actor back in the day when they needed, because he's a perfect role model, and they brought Heath Ledger, who'd just done Two Hands, where I met him.
Two Hands. That's right. You worked on that. Yeah.
I stood around watching them film it.
Well, you're security,
I was watching it and I was going, even thinking I'm affected by this because I want to go out and start shooting redcoats now because, they murdered his son and I wanted him to go.
The Patriot is a 2000 American. Yep.
Exactly.
Fictional historical war. 9/11. Directed by, Roland. Which is my real name, Roland Emmerich, and written by Robert Dudat. The film stars Robert Dudat. Mel Gibson, Heath Ledger, Jolie Richardson, Jason Isaacs, Chris Cooper. I remember him from, he's a great actor, Chris Cooper. He was in American Beauty.
The kind of closet guy next door neighbor.
Yeah, he thought, yeah, you know it, bro. Well, and Tom Wilkinson said in Berkeley County, South Carolina, it follows Benjamin Martin, which was Gibson, an American colonist who was going to war with Great Britain, but along with his Gabriel. Swept away in the Revolutionary War. There you go.
I only watched, half an hour of it, and I was entrenched, and I was totally, I want Mel Gibson to go out and get revenge. And guess what? This is a real fucking big psychological movie. This is a movie of massive psychological, because it came out just about a year before 9/11, right, where they wanted you to start getting angry and being very patriotic, and that's what's called the Patriot.
Now, it was called the Patriot Act, that piece of shit, George W. Bush.
That was ready
and,
to go. Julie Andrews. This movie is 100% guaranteed a psychological movie, just like about the same year Pearl Harbor got re-released, just to re-emphasize the whole, you know, America's being attacked, we need to fight back. So Mel Gibson plays his father, his son gets murdered in front of him by a British general, whatever, and then he just goes psycho. And in this, Julie Andrews, really, you can talk whenever.
Yeah, but excellent.
So at the beginning, like Heath Ledger gets carted off, about to be executed, and so Mel goes, right, he suddenly goes from pacifist to bloodthirsty, I want to kill everybody, and he gets blood all over him in this particular scene where he gets his two younger sons, and they're about 8 or 9, or say they're 10-year-olds or 11-year-olds. Him and two of his sons watch the redcoats take off with Heath Ledger, and they run off and do an ambush. And these kids are about, you know, say they're about 4'5", maybe nearly close to maybe 5 foot tall, holding rifle muskets that you can only fire with one shot, and it's incredibly slow process to put the ball down, it ram some ramrod down, and then put some flint in the musket. He says, right, you take these rifles and you fire and shoot. And he says, what did I tell you, son? He goes, shoot for the smallest part of the body is the hardest part of the body. Shoot for the biggest part of the body. So it's two sons.
I just uploaded it. Have a look at Mel Gibson.
I just uploaded it. Okay, Julie Andrews. Julie Andrews again. I'm not going to watch it. I'm already talking.
No. So, I just want you to look at the picture. On the balcony.
Okay. Anyway.
Have a look.
The unlikelihood of two little kids and him holds three muskets and the other two have got one each. And he says to one of them, can you reload when I say fire? I'll fire first. So there's like 15 to 20 redcoats, you know, battle hardened soldiers that have been fighting the colonialists.
Yeah.
And they do an ambush. And you never ever get to see them, how they would have possibly reloaded an old musket, which is at least taller than them, to hold the ramrod down and keep firing enough to shoot 15 different. It's just so bullshit. It's just like all of the history is just so bullshit. It's just impossible.
Look, I just can't help it. Have a look at that picture. I posted in Rollo's balcony.
He finishes off four or five of these guys with a battle axe that he's got, and he's got in the last one of the scenes, he's got one of the British soldiers on the ground, and he smashes his skull in so much that there's complete blood and gore all over Mel Gibson's face, and that I'm telling you, these are psychological.
Is this on Bellaset's?
No, I haven't got. I can't do that yet.
Next week on Rollo, Rick and Rollo 70.
What have you said? What have you shared me something on the
show on note? The balcony? You just go to, Rollo's balcony on Truth Meet. Just look at how good looking he was back then. I'm not a homosexual. No, there's nothing wrong with that, but I think my favorite Mel Gibson was a conspiracy theory with Julia Roberts,
I'm going to have to rewatch that again because that is definitely full of stuff. big time, to make conspiracy theorists look like lunatics.
Patrick Stewart was the bad guy, you know, the guy from Star Trek.
And it was about MK Ultra.
Yeah, MK I loved Ultra. It. Yeah,
it was fantastic. It was a great movie.
I think it's one of my Braveheart. Yeah. Braveheart is up there. A Lethal Weapon.
Yeah,
he was before he got drunk and mouthed off about
Jews and Russian women.
The Jews are the cause all the wars or something. Yeah. Because he is some Polak or something. He was drunk. He drank three bottles of vodka and he shouldn't have been driving a car on his own. No, I'm just glad that the cop pulled him over and saved his life. I've done DUI, so I'm no saint.
It was interesting that, you know, talking about 9/11, first person that really brought up that was impossible was, in fact, Mel Gibson. I was listening to an interview with him. His father, Hutton Gibson, had said, these are remote control planes. They cannot have possibly been real planes that went into the thing. No planes, all film, et cetera. But Mel Gibson, interestingly, brought up the fact in an interview, it was a setup and they were remote control planes, which that's they weren't. There were no planes.
My favorite interviews was, before he died, David Lynch. Do you remember him? The guy that,
Eraserhead.
Oh my God. What a crazy, and he did The Elephant Man.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that with John Hurt?
I'm not a monster.
And he's smoking a cigarette going, building 7. How does that building fall down? It never got hit by any plane, if there was a plane. And there he is, just smoking away going, that's bullshit.
Well, I'll tell you now, that show has got so much weird fucking esoteric stuff crammed into five series.
Mulholland Drive. Said, "Watch Mulholland Drive."
Mulholland Drive is great as well.
It's got the biggest jump scare you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah, Mulholland Drive's great, and it's got Naomi Watts, who was another Australian actress.
Was it?
Yes, but no, we're talking about what's it called? Springs. It's the one about that the girl that mysteriously dies.
David Lynch, born. He was born
9/11.
Okay. Born 1946. He died on the 16th of January 2025. Now, let's go through this. Yeah, it was Mulholland. Oh, man, he's
cheating. Yeah, but but what's it called?
Twin Peaks. Yeah, that's right. Who killed Laura Palmer?
Laura Palmer. Now, that movie, TV series, and there's a movie. I've seen guys that do film analysis like Jay Dyer and the other guy I listened to, that conspiracy and non-popular culture guy. He had to break the show down and do an analysis of it. They had to do like 15 to 20 episodes.
He did Blue Velvet. So he started with Eraserhead. You're right. There, you got it right. Elephant Man, and then Mulholland, then Blue Velvet with Blue Velvet.
Dennis Hopper.
Yeah, he goes.
Dennis Hopper doesn't say a lot. He doesn't say that, but he's up there.
He's a psycho. Yeah. Have you seen the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, the second one?
Is that the one with
Dennis Hopper's in that? My wife refused to watch it. I loved it. I like the first one, but the second one was...
You're listening to
Rick and Roll.
Is supported by ways and donations. You can support us too by going to truthmeets.com and clicking on the support link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the support link.
Truthmeets.com would like to shout out Lord Rollo for his generous support this month. Thank you, Rollo.
Yeah, Rick and Rollo. Rick and Rollo, 69, Saturday the 28th of February, 2026. Truthmeets.com. I've just got a message from my wife. What is POS? I was texting her about a piece of shit. Piece of shit. She's going, what is POS? Oh, she's so cute. We were talking about Dennis Hopper and Dennis 10 gallons. He had a 10 gallon on, like, we were talking last week about that wonderful Woody Harrelson in that scene, what was it called? No Country for Old Men. And it was classic, the 10 gallon he was wearing in that. I'd love a 10 gallon. I've got 10 gallons
because it fit 10 gallons of something in it.
It's just an awesome looking. Larry Hagman wore one in Dallas
What did Hoss wear in the Bonanza? It would have to be a 20-gallon hat then.
Could be. Bonanza's a little bit before my time, mate.
So Mardi Gras night, right? So the whole of Sydney, when you're driving around.
Oh, yes.
Buildings are lit up with this fucking weird fucking, these, you know, the multicolored rainbow thing they're using for the imagery of. It's everywhere. But it's very interesting. I remember in the 90s watching some kind of thing.
Hey, Rick, were you on one of the plates? Were you on one of the plates with the chaps?
I'm sure I would look fantastic if I bothered.
Oh, really?
I should have been
up there on a plate.
It's amazing. Oh, amazing. Look at his ass. Oh my God.
when you got the chaps.
They were suggesting when they started hyping up the whole festival, because it was just a thing that was on. It was a perfectly innocent, you know. The gays and lesbians used to have a march, but what it did, it morphed into something much, much bigger. Anyway, they were suggesting there were a million people watching and going to the parade, and I remember going, "There's no fucking way there's a million people. They're not even getting a tenth of that." Well, guess what? Now on yesterday on 2GB. The news guy goes, they're expecting at least 200,000. It's not as big as it used to be. They used to get a million people there. And I was going,
easily.
They've never had a fucking million people. No. They had 200,000.
Back in 89.
A million
people. You couldn't move.
Yeah, that's 200,000 people. A million people would be, the whole area would be impossible to even envisage. They hyped it up, and when they were hyping it up on the ABC, they started doing a live broadcast.
Did the ABC do a live broadcast though?
Yeah, no, and they were the ones saying there's a million people watching it, and I knew straight away they're lying. They're exaggerating the numbers just to make everyone think, oh well, if there's a million people, why how come I'm not there? Now they're saying they're getting 200,000, and now. This is now when the whole of Sydney is changing their building colours using, laser lights and everything.
Yeah, sure.
Way bigger than it used to be. And they're now saying there's 200,000 people, which I'm going to query that even. Anyway, they brought in...
No pun intended.
I know, but do you remember when Julian Cleary who's a,
what was it called?
He's the most unfunny bitchy old fucking poof you've ever met.
The TV show was called Sticky Moments.
Sticky Moments, yeah. Yeah. The ABC.
He was cringe. It was cringe. What's cringy? Yeah.
So the ABC, this is Auntie, our BBC, they brought Julian Cleary over as a commentator. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting at home, you know, I was with some whichever girlfriend I was with at the stage. And we're watching this.
Let's see if Julian Cleary is still with us. Let's have a look.
Oh, he is. Yes, he is. Now, what he is, he's like, if you can imagine, Kenneth Williams on steroids. He is a bad
dude. No, you do. You do a very good.
This is Kenneth Williams.
Passed away
This is Kenny Williams. I'm here tonight listening to the show, and I'm not impressed. Anyway.
Where's Sid James? Where's Barbara Windsor?
I'm not sure, but all I'm saying this is the Rick and Rilla show is...
Are they in heaven with you?
Plumbing the depths.
Plumbing the depths. I've heard you're not the nicest person to work with. Julian Cleary. I'm looking at him right now. He's 66. Yeah.
He would have had so many plastic surgeries. It would be funny. Anyway, they mistakenly bought him over thinking, hang on, Rollo, let me finish the story. They decided when they were hyping up the Mardi Gras parade, we'll have a huge guest list. And so they brought Julian Cleary over from England to be a commentator. And he sat there running them again. He was just going, oh, look at the effort he's making. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. And he ran the whole parade down. And they were going, these people, these are homosexuals that are bravely going and marching, and he was sitting there running them down, making fun of their costumes. And I thought that was quite good, actually, but he got into all sorts of trouble for that. And that's why you don't hear about him anymore, because he actually, even though he's the biggest
He's not funny. He's not funny. When he's got the makeup on, he does look like something that, split ends or something. This close up picture now in 2026, he does look like an Alan Rickman, without his makeup on. That looks like Alan Rickman. He is the bad guy from Die Hard or
Great Actor.
Yeah, he died way too young.
How old was Alan Rickman?
Young? I'll look it up.
Was he yet that young?
He was such a good... his voice. This Alan Rickman. He put it on well. He died in 2016, so he was born in 1946. In 2016.
Okay. Then he's quite young when he died.
That makes him, he would have turned 80 today.
So he would have been 50 when he died.
So he died. Let me just look it up near my tweet.
He was great.
Well, you do the math. He was born
40, what year?
Okay, so he was born 1946. So he's 46. 69, which is Rick and Roll is 69 tonight.
Hey,
so there you go.
What a weird synchronicity.
So he was born in London, England, and he died in London, England.
Yeah.
He was actually good guys and bad guys.
Yeah, he was in some really good movies, and he actually was very, like, I saw him, someone was posting something about a movie he was in, and I was thinking, he's a very smooth looking guy, you know, like, but they made him to be this really, the bad evil guy when they were demonizing white people.
Hans Gruber was his.
Hans Gruber.
Oh man. When he had that beard with Bruce Willis. You know that, Sylvester Stallone, Fox wanted Sylvester Stallone. And Bruce Willis got the role, and Bruce Willis coming off Moonlighting or whatever with Sybil Shepherd.
Yeah.
And Sylvester Stallone. I think he wanted too much money.
He could have easily been the hero in that film.
Mm.
Yeah. Anyone could have done it because it was a good thing, but they always demonized
it. It was such a great script. It was so simple.
Another Christmas
movie. I used to work in the video store. Listen, Die Hard 2 cost us so much money. My boss at the time was so cranky.
20 copies.
But you couldn't buy them. Then they did a buyback thing where you just didn't buy them and then rent them out.
But it used to cost $60 or $70 to buy a movie back in those days, I think.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, it was hugely expensive.
Yeah,
and that's why I had a ball as a kid because I got kicked out of Westpac, and I spent like 2 years in that period of my life working in a video store.
Mm.
And I was on minimum wage. I was like, I don't know, $10 an hour or something.
But who cares when you've got a job that you enjoy? As long as you're getting money for it, it's fantastic.
I couldn't be happier. The first box because you get to unopen boxes of the new videos, and the first box I opened was Karate Kid 3, and I didn't I didn't even know there was a Karate Kid 2. You know, with Ralph Macchio, and Pat Morita, I put Karate Kid 3, and I watch it, and I go, "What a bucket of shit! Yeah. What a piece of crap this is!" I like the first one with when he's doing the albatross move, and he kicks his shit out of the.
What's his name, Mister? The guy from
Miss Miyagi, was it? Miss? He was in Happy Days.
Happy Days. Yeah, he was Arnold. It was Arnold.
Yeah, he's long gone. Yeah.
Yeah, or the head of Arnold. Yeah,
but I tell you, on unboxing and getting the tapes early was fun for me, and all the posters. We had all the posters, not only
posters. You can get the those cardboard stand-up things that they'd had promotional.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I should have kept all of them. Do you know how much they'd be worth now?
Huge amounts of money.
I didn't keep any of them. Stupid me. I was never into the only thing that I collected were footy cards back when I've still got all them. But they're not worth anything.
Hang on to them.
Yeah, well, I've still got them. But I've got the complete set, you know, Pokemon or whatever, or, you know, where people went.
Can we talk about that, actually?
Anything.
My kids were into the Pokemon cards and stuff like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some of their friends were really into it. And they were collecting the genuine ones because what happens when you got little kids? They go, you go to the markets or anywhere with a market, and there'll be someone selling Pokemon cards, and the kids go, "Nan dang yang!" Screaming, carry on, and you have to buy them. And I knew that most of these were fake; they weren't the real good ones. But you get say one good card out of a packet. Now those cards, can I tell you now, are worth thousands up to $20,000-$30,000 a card.
Yeah, it's like gambling. Yeah,
collectible is you cannot always hang on to it. Always hang on to it.
When I remember opening the cards, okay, and then there was a stick of gum in there.
Yeah,
and you'd open the pack and stick the gum in your mouth, And before you know it, you can barely breathe because there's so much gum in your mouth. You know, that pink gum that came. Why do the parents would say, why do you have to put a stick of gum in the pack? All you're looking for, all you're looking for is the rare one.
Yeah, exactly.
The rare one. And you do all your swapping trades with your friends. You'd have to have, and I've got the full set of Scanlon's footy cards from 1978. I read the 1978 ones.
Do not get rid of them.
I've got them from 1978 to 1982 when I was a kid.
I was at a kebab shop in Asheville about 3 weeks ago, and they've employed a new guy, and he's just this. He was, you know, he's a Middle Eastern guy. You know, young. He probably maybe 30, say. And he had a box. What he'd done is he had a box of his collectible cards and he was giving them away because he's, and I said, how come you're giving them away? And he goes, because I've kept all the rare ones, but you know, I'm just thought, you know, I'd be kind to,
hey,
you know,
you gotta keep the whole set. Yeah.
So he said, just grab a whole lot of them. So I grabbed a great bundle of them. He goes, you're a womble. My sons are into this thing and they understand. So apparently, and I spotted another two the other day. Popping up is collectible card shops now. And so the new generation of millennials, they are fucking into their pop culture like you would not believe. So anything collectible, and be it a rugby card or a baseball card in America.
If you get a rare one of them.
You're talking about, there are people that live basically just trading and buying cards. That's all they do. Yeah. And
it's like money. More money than it's, me. It's like money. Like,
yeah, it's just a
piece of plastic.
It's like a Bitcoin.
Yeah, Bitcoin. That's exactly right. I've got an English pound that was given to me the other day.
Really?
Five quid or whatever, £5. It's sitting on, it's in the pool room, you know. Do you remember that? The pool room. Yeah. It goes to the pool room.
I'm going to stick it in the pool room.
That thing today that I was given, this gold watch or whatever. It's in the pool room and, on top of the piano that I can't play.
Well, I've got, you know, when I was like this time last year when I was had that job at the op shop, I've got stuff that I found in their rubbish bin that we're throwing out. I've got a, not 2001 PlayStation, not PlayStation, what's it called? A Game Boy.
Yeah.
I'm pulling it out. I guess so. It's probably might need a new battery, but I haven't tried to charge. I haven't got a charge. That's what I'm missing. But I found 20 games, right, in this rubbish bin that they're throwing out. I Googled it. One of these games was worth $600.
Yeah.
It's easily. It was a 2001 edition of, what's that little plumber? The plumber with the moustache that drives around.
Put it up on eBay.
No, I'm going to keep them because honestly, the longer
you hold on. Put it in your pool room.
Rollo, it's in the pool room. I don't have a pool. But
every time I think of pool room, I think of you playing pool with, what's his name again? The bald guy from. I can still in clearly in my head.
You were talking about from Hoodoo Gurus.
Every time I think of the pool room, I just
you
think
heard
of
what
you.
He said. So 3 weeks ago, he managed to get as a 60 nearly. Oh, he have to be.
Oh, close. Let me find my phone. Is he still?
He's a few years old. He's going to be 65, 66. He came out and said that. One Nation is not to play his music. Just like all those people.
Yeah, he's a raising lefty. That's right.
Oh, man, big time. The whole band is. And he said, I wouldn't, what's the name, that fucking orange headed pre-Trump,
Pauline
Hanson. He said, I wouldn't piss on her if she was on fire. He got front page coverage, but.
There's a new party. Yeah, he still looks good. Look, he looks like Karl Kruzinski with this picture I'm looking at. Dave Faulkner is 68 years old, born October, my birthday. There you go.
Really
so
nice.
How about that?
Really nice. He keeps forgetting.
Brandon was a Rick and Rollo. 69.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to another conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now on with the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
All right, yeah, Rick and Rollo, 69. Yeah, we're having a great time. I'm just looking at Dave Faulkner. It's the Saturday, the 28th of February, 2026, truthmeets.com. God, he looks like Dave. Carl Cruz in his gear with that, except bald.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't look anything like Carl Cruz in this.
No, the picture I'm looking at. Yeah, he's 68 years old. He's born on my birthday, of all things. So there you go. He's a Liberan, and he's a raging lefty. And you played pool with him. And
we've already seen the story.
The story is boring. But you go, hey, you look like Dave Faulkner. You're in Balmain or somewhere, or playing
Dick's
pool.
Dick's Hotel.
And you go, are you Dave Faulkner?
No. I said, man, you are the fucking spitting image of the lead singer of the Hoodoo Gurus. And he said, yeah. Well, I fucking hope so. And he ran over and got his license out and gave it to me.
I fucking hope so.
That's what he said. Yeah.
Oh, I could hear you cracking a beer.
This is Australia.
What's your favorite Hoodoo Gurus song? Was it,
Interesting.
What's my
No. But Robin Williams said that that's his favorite band ever was the Hoodoo Gurus. This is Robin Williams.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
We lost him in 2014.
I tell you the greatest song they've done to me, and the Screaming Jets covered it on that album they did of just covers.
Oh,
it was the right,
what a
the
great
right
band. I love
song
that.
the right time by
It's the right time. Maybe we'll go.
Just the right great. Yeah, we could. Why not?
The Screaming Jets. Now they're a Newcastle band. That's why I like them so much.
I got
punched in the face by
Dave.
Who was Dave? Dave Gleason. Yeah.
But anyway, this morning on Facebook, because, it's the start of the rugby league week, and they're in Las Vegas at the moment.
I saw Laurie Daly.
Someone shared to Dave Gleason, who's on Facebook. And they're in this fucking auditorium that I've never seen the like of. It must be a giant casino somewhere. And there's about 20,000 people in this place. I've got no idea how many are there. And over the speakers are playing Better by the Screaming Jets. And someone shared it and said, Dave's gone, I wish we were, we should have been there playing it live. Obviously trying to get a plug-in for the band because they're still touring, obviously.
Yeah, well, apparently Vegas is empty at the moment because of the, the downturn in the economy over there. But
well, that's why they've got rugby league over there, massive pipe for the Australian rugby league. And, yeah, good on them for doing that, but who the fuck, in America, no one cares about rugby league. No one cares.
Well, they're into baseball and American football. Yeah, gridiron. That's right. Exactly. good luck to them and see how they go. Remember we were talking a few weeks back. Who was that guy in Vegas? He was at Bellagio's. Was George Brett? You know, he couldn't keep his sphincter shut.
Yeah.
It was so hilarious. This is one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my and Belisette played it.
We did
audio. Yeah. Yep. Oh my God. Vegas. I'd love to go to Vegas, but I'm happy to go to Melbourne with you. We'll go to the casino.
Yeah, I definitely want to be in Melbourne in the next couple of weeks or whatever.
Let's go down there and do a live stream or something, or Rick and Rollo.
I don't know.
We don't need the money. We don't need the money. But I just enjoy the Yarra, and everyone's so nice down there, and the food's so good.
They're definitely nicer people than Sydney people. There's no comparison.
Yeah, even where I'm in. The food in Lygon Street. Have you been to Lygon?
Yeah. And there's a particular restaurant called the Universal in Lygon Street, right?
Mm.
You get for $14 or $15 a schnitzel, like as Norbert said. Him and his ex-girlfriend now, sadly, were saying, he's just had a bit of a relationship.
Oh, they busted up.
Mutual, they're friends.
Live and learn. Yeah.
That's what I said. You do not get into a relationship when you're 19 years of age. You've got to be, as far as I'm concerned, do that when you're 23, 24, like I did.
Exactly. How many girlfriends has Norbert had?
This is the big one, but
is he an in like Flynn? Because you've had over 200.
I don't know where you found
maybe that number. Maybe you said it off air one time. I've slept with 40 women, maybe, at best.
Yeah, well, I just kind of guesstimated what I've...
Guess how many blokes.
I don't know, Rollo, I do not want to know. Do not need to know that one. I'll conveniently block that one out of my...
Have you got your fingers in your ears going, yeah. la, 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 I can't hear you, la, la.
La, 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 la.
Yeah. Do you remember when you were speaking to, who was the guy, the... Clive Robertson do overnight, and you could talk to him, and he just let you free talk.
Say whatever you want, free talk. Yep.
Yeah. He was classic. And
He was my favorite. He's what I call my role model for as a broadcaster, where you're being, you can be funny, you can go off topic at the top, whenever you want, and do voices.
Do you remember when he tried to go on TV and it just didn't work for him?
What he meant tried to. He was one of the best TV hosts ever in Australia. He had
Not in my opinion.
Clive Robertson's show would outrate anything John Laws ever did on TV. There's no one that was as good as him when he had news hour and he was reading the news and he'd just go, I'm not reading this, and he'd throw it over his head.
He'd have a suit on,
he'd stand up, and he was wearing a pair of boxer shorts underneath and walk off. He was a total anarchist TV announcer, and that's why he had to go. He had to go. They had to sack him because they could not have a guy that's going to say, I don't believe that story, and just stand up and walk out. He did that all the time. And that's my hero. Clive Robertson. Oh
my God, back in the day, I'm so glad you got to talk to him. I got to talk to him for like probably two in the morning.
Well, he was
not a lot, only one time. One time in 2011, I think it was. And I'm a bit of an insomniac. I didn't have any Valium to put me to sleep. So
Have you tried smoking pot?
Oh, no, I've got
a lot.
I have. It's no good for me.
Have you tried edibles?
Where the THC is in a gummy or something.
In a gummy, yeah. I'm telling you, it would probably do you good because these things fucking blow your brain out of the fucking stratosphere. I had one last week that I could not walk properly after having it an hour and a half later. They're fantastic.
Yeah. Well,
but you have weird dreams.
We were munching down on Xanax that night.
Not me. Rollo. No,
not you. But on the balcony, in my old balcony.
Just trust me.
Trust me.
I will never take a pharmaceutical that's designed to send you to wherever. I will easily have a natural thing like a cookie or a joint.
Yeah, I've had a hash brown or a hash cookie, and it's just not the drug for me. It's just
interesting. Yeah,
going into you see that Beatles movie or whatever, and suddenly you think you're on Abbey Road, walking over a zebra crossing.
Yeah, that's psychedelics will do that, or mushrooms or something or other.
Yeah, and
have you had mushrooms?
I've done it all, mate.
But have you had mushrooms in Thailand? You can just go to any bar and have a mushroom milkshake.
Absolutely.
I think I would put 10 out of 10. I think they are fantastic. And they actually say, do you want it strong or medium or whatever? And I never said strong.
But that's culture for you. You're lucky. I remember Christy getting super shots squirted in her mouth like a syringe. And and she was just off her chops. And I'm there.
Remember that bar? Yeah. Do you remember the bar in King's Cross? It was called the something factory, the test tube factory. Do you remember them?
It was.
It was called the test tube factory. And they used to have chicks in lingerie roaming. And I'm talking about fucking hot. And they had around their waists, around their knickers, they'd have a whole lot of syringes full of different vodka, shots.
Did they have their white pointers out with the pink?
They had everything. I don't think they were naked. They definitely had lingerie on. It was in King's Cross back in that. Yeah. I'm talking about the 80s.
Yeah, we're back 80s or 70s. Yeah,
70s. 80s. I wasn't able to do that in the 70s, but if I could, I would have.
No, but
there was a club called
King's Cross back in the 70s.
So I would say me and you 80s, because even I wasn't around. I didn't get here till 83.
It must have been the 80s. Yeah, because
the test tube. It was a concept someone came up with, and you go in there and there's beautiful women everywhere. Roaming around, they had like a gun belt on with syringes or test tubes full of different cocktails. And they made their money by getting you to take one of their, so it was $10 for each a nip or whatever. And it was full of lonely guys, guys that would hang out.
That's right.
You
just wanted to see a strip show. That's right.
I got
slipped. I think me and Tane got one of my best friends got slipped to Mickey. I think we all wake up with a sore ass. fuck me! You know what happened? It reminds me of that movie. What's it called? The guy that's had all the plastic surgery. The Hangover. Do you remember that film? Have you ever watched that?
Yes.
Yeah, it reminds me of that night. We had such a big night. And we ended up drinking some German beer. And the guy, I can hear that, yeah. and he goes, come in, the Pink Panther. Yeah, the Rick and Rollo 69.
The Pink Panther. That's what they were all about. They were all about everywhere at King's Cross.
He pointed to the can. He said, have a look at that can. And we're so drunk and we go, zero alcohol. Zero. Look, and he says, come in here and you'll get a drink and you'll get to see some good tits. And we went, you know, Pink Panther or whatever it was. We went up there and me and Tone, we went, you know, and then they would want you to go upstairs.
Yes, you know, that was another $60 or $70 or whatever, or $100.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, none of us, me and Tate, went into that. We were just, all right, give us a go.
The first time I ever walked into one of them was being 85. Mm-hmm. I walked into a strip bar. I ended up, this chick came up to me and she said, look, I work here, but would you like to, you know, she was basically put it on me. And I'm like, you know, like looking around, like, what do you mean? And she said, can you meet me across the road at the train station because I'm not allowed to leave with a customer? And I said, whatever. How old was I? 21 years of age, right?
Mm.
I ended up with this stripper, very good looking.
What's it called in that Heath Ledger film where you're just
two hands.
A client, or just
a lot of these chicks are just there, you know, earning some money, and if they spot someone, because they're probably having to live in
a young 21-year-old Rick. I mean, why not? She would have loved it.
She certainly did, because she said, you know, because most of the clients in these places are dirty old men, and whenever a young guy turns up, they go, actually, this might be a better offer that I can go and stay have an accommodation.
You were a cheap trick. You're a trick. Yeah. Remember that?
She came around a few times, I'll just say that, after that.
Yeah, well, you at 21 would have looked, you would have been at your prime.
A lot better than I do now, I'll just say that.
I know. Don't have plastic. Don't do anything.
I'm going to go to the Chinese Vietnamese surgeon for a cheap facelift. A cheap facelift. It's horrible.
I know you're bullshit.
Nah. Well, I am, but
I look like Cat Weasel.
You look like
Rob Hurst.
He's dead. Rollo, he's dead. So if I look like a dead person, it's not a good thing. Not a good thing. How long are we going to keep going through? I don't know how much. Even I am.
Have we done an hour? We've done two hours at least. The expertise is going past right now. I can hear it.
Hey, Rollo, you know, if that's coming past, it means the trains are working.
It scared the shit out of Rosie this morning. I got up at 4 a.m. She's barking. I know it's boring, but and when she's barking at the door, I need to take a shit or I need to take a piss. That's the beauty of animals. And while she's like when she's taking a shit or piss or whatever. The expertise flew past and scared the living crap. I thought she was deaf.
Well, the train that you're getting now stopped me from getting, because I've got the train line about, you know, a few minutes from my door.
That's right.
And,
me too.
And so that's the same train that you're getting now. When I went into port this afternoon, we'll be just getting there. It was about 5 hours, 4 or 5
That's
hours.
Brilliant.
Away. Yeah.
I'm so happy for you because like, you can get 3 minutes. I'm like 20 seconds. When Vel said,
we're
20, basically 20 seconds. And, there's a fence, back in the old days in the '70s. There were no fences. So you could sit there and you could put coins on the bloody on the
track.
What
does that do? What does it do though when
it
coins
flat,
on the
track? It just flattens them.
Yeah. If it hits it in the right angle.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, well,
some of the crazy shit we used to do is have you ever lied under a train while it comes up over you?
No. No, I'm not an imbecile, Rollo. I think you've got me confused with
Ray Hadley. Thank you, Ray. Right. Can you do your Ray Hadley?
I think he is. Absolutely. But what song did we just say before that we should play?
I think it was The Herds. Rick and Rollo 69.
Rick and Rollo.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
You're listening to Rick and Rollo, episode number 16. Truth Meets Community Radio Station. But we're all here for free, be told.
Yeah, we are community. What's the 99?
Any money out of it? 94.9. Yeah, 94.9. Didn't we have a song that we were going to use? I can't remember.
The Herds. Now,
Well, we could, but no, there was something else that I mentioned before, and you went, we should use that as a sign out.
I can't remember, mate. I've had too many Immogulus.
So have I. Well, I could tell you how many I've had. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I've had 6 beers. That's nothing. That's not even...
Be told.
Be told. That's nothing. What song did we were talking... I'm sure we mentioned a song.
All right.
I'll tell you what I don't know why. For some reason, it might have been Be Told or Here. I was running down Guns N' Roses, right, as saying that they're a bunch of fakes. Right. Please. I would rather have a bucket of urine tipped over my head.
Axl Rose, man. Axl Rose.
No, but I was listening to, so, you know, they were good, and I did like Sweet Child of Mine, even though it's a rip-off. The song Sweet Child of Mine was ripping off Australian Crawl's song, but it's another song they did. But anyway, they struggled for years, like coming to come up with this new album, and they decided to put out this thing called Use Your Illusion. And they put it out.
Oh, yeah, double. It was as a double album.
But instead of putting it out as a double album, they put it out as one album. And then you had to buy on the same day the second part of it. So for the same
price. We were ripped off.
Absolute wank. Yeah. And when you listen to half the songs on Lose Your Illusions, and I'm telling you now, this is guaranteed why the rest of the band left, and it was only Axl Rose.
How about we go out with November Rain?
No.
It goes for 11 minutes. 11 minutes.
I would rather, Rollo, I would rather drink your urine than listen to that song ever again. That's how bad that song was. No, there's a great song called
What did I watch during the week? I love watching dog videos.
I love watching dogs
that lick and then get their tongue stuck to freezing cold poles and that.
Yeah, that sounds like the movie.
What's
that movie?
It was called Dumb and Dumber, right?
Dumb and Dumber, when he licks the thing and gets his tongue stuck.
And all he had to do to get warm water is had to piss. You're not going to like it, but it'll get your tongue off. Urinate over his tongue.
Well, yeah.
Rather than try and get someone and hurt your tongue.
You know, but anyway.
Yeah.
Well, that's good advice for those of you that are stuck with you. And anyone in New York or a lot of America. Or Canada. Yeah. No, there's a song on Lose Your Illusions. I started listening to some of the other songs. There's one song I really love.
Okay.
No, it's called Pretty Tied Up. And I love that song. Mm-hmm. Fantastic song. Then I listened to a lot of the other songs, and I realized why, you know, the guy that wears a silly hat, you know, the guitarist.
His name's Mash or
Slash.
Crash. Slash.
And the bass player, and they all left. They all left, and I know why now. Because what Axl Rose did is he went and sat and talked over the lyrics. So there's three different levels of his vocals on a lot of the songs. All of a sudden, when you listen to the Lose Your Illusions album, you realize that he's actually sitting there talking over the top of three levels of his own vocals, just talking over the top. And they must have gone, your ego is beyond anyone else's ego. Axl Rose, the worst ego ever. He now looks like a cross between Benny Hill and Donald Trump. Literally.
He was so thin back in the day. And he did that, the arms out, and that sway motion that he did.
He was a good-looking guy back in the day, but I'm telling you, he has aged fucking terribly. Like, he's fat in the face. He looks like Benny Hill.
He looks like Meatloaf.
No, Meatloaf. That's a good combination. And we could talk about that, but we won't. But I think we're going to go with it's called Pretty Tied Up by Guns N' Roses.
Do you want me to send that?
It's called Pretty Tied Up. It's got to be the original album, Pretty Tied Up, because that's a great song.
All right.
But he talks over the top of this one as well. At the beginning, you hear his voice going, you know, you're listening to something or other. And I imagine the rest of the band, when they listen to the final mix, were going, you're just coming in here and talking over the top of all this great music we just played and putting your own voice over, which he did for sure. But I like Pretty Tied Up. I think it's a great song.
All right.
We'll go with that.
It's been a good Rick Roller 69 on our own.
I love that. What's it called? Pretty Tied Up.
There we go. Guns N' Roses.
Pretty Tied Up.
Remember Guns N' Roses when he Norman Gunston interviewed him. No, I'm a bit drunk, so.
Well, you are.
They didn't know what to make of Gary McDonald. That's right. Okay, Guns N' Roses. Guns N' Roses.
Fuck that off. No, it's called Pretty Tied Up. Use Your Illusions, whatever it was called.
All right, give me back in. The first thing I type in P and it comes up with Pornhub. what have I been watching when I've been drunk?
Pornhub.
Pretty tied up.
Pretty tied up. Oh, no, Roller, I'll do it. Roller, I'll do it. I'll
send it to Joel.
Yeah. Pretty tied up.
See if you can get it before I do. Before I do, Pretty Tied Up. I'm so drunk. I've got double vision.
I've got it too.
And now, which one do you want? The live version?
No. I've got it. Already
I'm gonna send this one to Bello.
Already sent it.
And a big thank you. Thank you, Joel, for the streaming service.
Expect another donation from me in the next couple of days. Because it's now the new month. Can you believe it?
600.
No, I send...
600?
I send amounts of a certain amount. What are we going to call the show?
I just put it on the balcony. Is that the right one that you want?
I already sent it to.
I just put it on the balcony.
Pretty Tied Up. Pretty Tied Up.
Is it
Rick and Rollo 69? Pretty Tied Up.
Well, Thank you for everyone. Yeah, 69.
Yeah. Thank you to my lizards.
Have you ever had a 69?
Thank you to my cat. And thank you to Susie, the only human listener to this show. The only human listener to the show.
Everyone finds that funny, the 69, because the number's the 60. I never enjoyed a 69. I don't know. Did you?
Yes. Depends. It all depends. It depends
on the woman.
Exactly.
Or the man.
No.
All right. There we go. We're going to go out with Guns N' Roses. Guns N' Roses?
Guns N' Roses.
Pretty tied up. Cheers, mate.
All right, man. Over and out.
Bye.